Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us today on the program. We're going to catch up with folks from the Catholic Community Foundation for Eastern South Dakota. They have some great ideas for how you might help yourself and help others with year-end giving. So hope you will stick around for that portion of the program. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Advent Sunday. Emily Leadham with the first and second reading, and Deacon Roger Height with the Gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to announce a year of favor from the Lord, and a day of vindication by our God. I rejoice heartily in the Lord, in my God is the joy of my soul. For he has clothed me with a robe of salvation and wrapped me in a mantle of justice, like a bridegroom adorned with a diadem, like a bride bedecked with her jewels. As the earth brings forth its plants and a garden makes its growth spring up, so will the Lord God make justice and praise spring up before all the nations. The Word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in all circumstances give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Test everything, retain what is good, refrain from every kind of evil. May the God of peace make you perfectly holy, and may you entirely, spirit, soul, and body, be preserved blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will also accomplish it. The Word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" he admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." So they asked him, "What are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you, so we can give an answer to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.' As Isaiah the prophet said, 'Some Pharisees were also sent. They asked him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, or Elijah, or the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, the Catholic Community Foundation for Eastern South Dakota recently marked the 30th anniversary of its creation and its service. As part of the observance, the group's board members were led on a tour of the permanent monastery dedicated to intercessory prayer and the Eucharistic adoration on the campus of the Cathedral of St. Joseph. Construction expenses have been covered by donations. Just $180,000 remains to be raised for furnishings, furniture, and equipment for an expected summer 2018 opening. Prayer requests and donations are welcome at www.perpetualadorationsisters.org. Also during the Foundation's periodic board meeting, Cathedral Parish and St. Joseph Legacy Society members Bill and Val Schrader were thanked for their 20 years of volunteer service for the Christmas at the Cathedral concerts. You can read and see more about the Catholic Community Foundation for Eastern South Dakota's 30th year of existence in the December edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, six major wind-fueled wildfires in Southern California have destroyed more than 1,000 structures and forced the evacuation of 200,000 residents. After he surveyed the damage in Ventura County north of Los Angeles, where the worst of the fires has raged, California Governor Jerry Brown told reporters that the fires may be the new normal. He declared a state of emergency for the area recently. U.S. President Donald Trump declared a state of emergency for California a couple of days after that. As of this week, officials had reported only one fatality from the fires. The Archdiocese of Los Angeles has started a fund for victims of the wildfires that have raced through the Archdiocese and were threatening to spread to locations in the nearby Orange and San Diego dioceses. Friends, as the wildfires continue, the needs of our neighbors continue to increase, said Archbishop Jose H. Gomez of Los Angeles on the Archdiocesan webpage that hosts the fundraising campaign. In this season of giving, let us open our hearts to our brothers and sisters in need, the Archbishop added. In the years since its 1959 dedication, the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception has had three main architectural focal points: on the exterior, its Great Dome and Knight's Tower over the northeast Washington skyline, and in the interior, its dramatic Christ in Majesty mosaic behind the main altar. With the dedication this week of its interior Trinity Dome mosaic completing its original architectural and iconographic plans, the National Shrine has a new dramatic focal point before it marks the centennial of the laying of its foundation stone in 2020. And Monsignor Walter Rossi, the National Shrine's rector, said in an interview that it is fitting that the Trinity Dome is centrally located in the nation's largest Catholic church and that the Holy Trinity is central to the new mosaic's iconography. The Trinity is central to the mosaic because the Trinity is central to our Christian life and faith. This is how God has revealed himself to us as Father, Son, and Spirit, Monsignor Rossi told the Catholic Standard, newspaper of the Washington Archdiocese. Opposite the monumental figures of the Trinity in the mosaic is a nearby three-story high depiction of Mary as the Immaculate Conception appearing as a beautiful young woman, her arms extended toward a procession of saints and holy people, ultimately pointing to her son, Jesus. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
It's a remarkable place.
It is. I have been there. It is incredible. You need to go if you haven't.
Now I want to go back and see the new, exactly. The new aspect of it. So good. Thanks, Gene, for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by the team from the Catholic Community Foundation for Eastern South Dakota, the team that works with planned giving. And we have Andrew Bartell, we have Katie Bartman, we have Kelly Bartman and Katie Fritz. You need my K's correct here. Good to have you all with us this morning. It's year end, and I know that's always a time of year that's very busy for the three of you, busy for all of the folks at the foundation office, because people think about what they need to get done yet before the year ends.
Right. How many times have we done this, Jerry?
You've been here a few times. Katie, I know you've been here once. Andrew, you're new to the table.
I am new to the table. This is my first year at the foundation.
And it's great to have you all. Great to have you all here. Katie, where do we start when we want to talk about this stuff for people that are in that place in their life where they go, well, I actually have some dollars I want to get rid of. I have some crop maybe I want to get rid of. I have, you know, whatever it is.
Sure.
Before the year end comes.
Well, the biggest thing is that that people are probably thinking about it at this time of year, partly because they want to, they're in the giving spirit, and they're thinking of ways to share those gifts, and also because, I'll be honest, they are thinking about their taxes,
right.
And their year-end income and their taxable things that they can write off for the next year. And so we are the perfect resource for people to connect with and help them
do those things. Kind of a one-stop shop, isn't it?
We are,
to handle a lot of that stuff.
We are a one-stop shop. That is for sure.
Yeah. What I know, Kelly, from the past, there's just all kinds of examples that people they find all kinds of creative ways to do this, and that's all possible.
Right, and that's what we like to see happen, Jerry. Is A check is an easy way to make a gift, and we are more than happy to accept cash and checks. But we like to help people work with the more creative ways, like you said, such as, you know, making gift of crop. If you've got crop in the bins and you want to haul it in, we probably have 12 or 15 local elevators that we have accounts with. And mm-hmm. if you go to one and we don't have an account, we can set up an account very quickly. Or people have the opportunity now to give from their individual retirement accounts or any of those types of things that you want to come up with. We're always there to facilitate, to help work that out.
I'm glad you mentioned the retirement accounts, and I don't know which of you wants to take this, because that's been, I know, a question mark some years, and kind of where that's all at as the Congress does its thing or doesn't do its thing. Where are we at with that this year?
This year, actually, the IRA rollover is permanent until Congress decides otherwise.
Oh.
So it's actually doesn't have to be renewed this year, so it is something that we can easily do. And the IRA rollover is actually a very good way to give a gift because it doesn't count as income.
Okay.
So it doesn't even hit your taxes at all if it comes straight from your IRA to the Catholic Community Foundation if you're over the age of 70 and a half.
So, Andrew, talk a little bit more about that. So if somebody is in that position where, for whatever reason, they have income coming from another source, or they have, you know, adequate income, and they really don't need those monies, and it's going to hurt them if they keep them, this is a good opportunity. Am I getting that right?
It is. And it's just a good way to utilize a tax benefit to do your charitable giving. Coming through the Catholic Community Foundation, you can use us to give to whatever entity, charitable entity that you want to give to, and we have the capabilities of making it very easy for you. That way, if you normally give money to your parish at the end of the year, and if you normally give it to another charity, and if you just want one check to come out of your IRA to us, and then we can help facilitate that to all the charities that you really like to give at the end of the year. And the big tax benefit of just writing a check to doing the IRA distribution is, again, it takes it so that it's not taxable income.
Cool. And
so just taking your giving, but giving you the most benefit and the most beneficial deductions to your charitable giving.
I like that there's that opportunity, Katie, that people can do As they used to say, set out to do good, and he did really well. But I mean, there's some truth in that, isn't it? That you can really do some good in every direction, and including maybe for your own tax situation.
Oh, definitely. It's the Catholic Community Foundation is 30 years old this year, and our organization has been helping so many different benefiting so many different organizations right. in the entire diocese. I'm just going to rattle off a couple numbers that are kind of interesting that I would think your listeners might be interested in knowing. But in the last 30 years, we have processed over almost 100,000 gifts.
Wow.
And that has come from almost 23,000 different people in this diocese. And just think of the impact that has made in all of these different communities.
Yeah, and that's what I love about the foundation is it can facilitate all these things so well. You have the expertise to do that. You have the capacity to do that. And in a current project that you're still trying to kind of get close to wrapping mm-hmm. up is the monastery
yes.
For the Perpetual Adoration Sisters. Mm-hmm. And if that's something that people have a heart for, it's a great time to think about that too.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that,
yeah,
Jerry.
I thought you might want me to
mention
that.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. No, if you haven't been up on the cathedral campus in a while, you need to drive by because the Perpetual Adoration Sisters of the Blessed Sacraments Monastery is being built, and it is really taking shape. We are about $160,000 to go, and that would help us complete all the furniture, fixtures, and equipment for that monastery to truly make this house of prayer a home. And so that is just one of the many different ministries that you can help with by donating your dollars now.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely so.
Andrew? And the other thing is, I mean, a lot of people think of us as, you know, doing just fundraising for particular events like the monastery, which is great. And we've done it for a lot of organizations like Broomtree and the Cathedral Restoration and Bishop Dudley House. But really, we love to work with people about where do they want to give their money?
Yeah.
You know, what's really passionate at their heart? And that's, we love to work with those people and really get creative with how we can do it that would really be the best for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, there's a lot of different tools available to do that, aren't there?
There are. And in 30 years, we've utilized and come up with the experience to do a lot of different gifting methodologies. You know, and Kelly's been here for a long time and has really kind of become an expert on a lot of these tools.
Yes, Kelly, the expert.
Well, I appreciate that, but I'm here to help people really come up with, as you said, to do good and do it well.
Mm-hmm.
With those different options of creating endowments that can really literally give forever in perpetuity by making a gift now or an advised fund if someone. End of the year. We're at that time where people want to make a gift now, and maybe they don't know exactly what ministries they want to help. So we can certainly set up an advice fund. Stock is appreciated these days, and a lot of people have stock that's had a lot of gains. Make a gift of stock. Don't sell it and give us a check. Gift the stock.
Gift the actual stock.
Mm-hmm.
Gift the actual stock.
Just by calling us, we can facilitate that and set it up. So,
yeah.
And oftentimes people want to help support their parishes.
Right.
And we are more than happy to help with that and work with pastors and parishes in helping people get gifts to their parish.
I want you to say a little bit more, and I don't know which of you, but I want you to say a little bit more about that advised fund idea, because I think that's such an interesting thing that people can do with a gift. And then, as you said, decide later actually where it's going to be distributed, or maybe on an ongoing mm-hmm. basis make a distribution. Am I thinking about that right?
Right. You can literally make a gift, and you know sometimes people have, as now the stock is appreciated, or they have the grain in the bin and they want to do it now. You can make that gift, get the tax deduction, or get that into the fund and establish it, and then take your time in determining what ministries will actually receive the benefit from that. And it can be a fund that's set up now and maybe not emptied out, if you will, for a long time. Mm-hmm. Through the next year or further down the road, you can continue to add to it and distribute from it.
One of the cool things that I think happens is some families do this as a way for kind of engaging the next generation. I think I'm thinking about that right as well. And they gather as a family and talk mm-hmm. about what it is they want to support.
Right. I mean, Jerry, it's almost like these donor advised funds for families could almost be like their own foundation.
Mm-hmm.
They can get their family together and they can be discussing the things that matter most to them and then coming back to us here at the Catholic Community Foundation, and we will facilitate all of that for them in their name.
It's very cool.
It's so easy. That's the thing that I don't think a lot of people understand. I think it can seem overwhelming, and a lot of these terms are big and people don't get them. And it actually is very easy. We're a lot of fun, and we're easy to talk to.
And I'll attest to the fun part without without revealing why I'm saying that this morning. Radio doesn't allow us to get
Jerry.
Into it, but this
we
is
all
a fun,
have our hair done for
this
you.
This is a fun crowd, and there's no doubt about that. And I should mention, we're talking about year-end giving with the folks from the Catholic Community Foundation for Eastern South Dakota. If anything we're talking about this morning triggers you, or you want to talk more about these things with someone at the foundation, you can give them a call. The 800 number is?
We don't even know the 800 number off the top of our head. We're used to cell phones.
The calls, yeah. But the website's also a great way.
The website's there. The number directly to our reception desk that can send you to wherever is 988-3788.
Perfect.
And that's a 605.
And the website is
ccfesd.org.
ccfesd.org. It used to be something different, but you added another letter, so I just have to stop and think about mm-hmm. that. ccfesd.org. Any of the things we're talking about this morning, people can follow up and get more information either from the website directly or by calling. And we'll mention that again as we wrap up later in this interview. What are the other things that you want to make sure people understand as they think about these things going into this year-end time?
Well, going into the year-end time, I mean, we've talked a lot about the advised funds and really how you can take advantage of that this tax year. I know there's a lot of questions with the legislation that's out there as to what's going to have to happen to standard deductions, your charitable deductions. That's all kind of in flux now.
Right.
So if you want to take advantage of those advised funds, you can do that in this tax year. You know, if you have that stock that is appreciated and you don't know what's going to happen with the legislature and what they're going to do with income taxes for next year, putting it into that advised fund this year locks you into actually having a tax deduction. And then still not knowing where to give the money, you can do that as time goes. And the great thing about advised funds is you can use it all. You can use some of it. It can stay dormant. You know, I just talked to someone whose advised fund has been dormant for a year and a half. They haven't used it. They're like, does it still exist? You know, and that was the great thing is they're like, oh yeah, it's ready to go for whenever you need it. And even though they've left it empty for a year, and then the year after that, you come back to it. And it just makes it a great tool so that whenever you need it, it's there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And I'm glad you mentioned the legislation because I know that does have a lot of people wondering. Obviously, it's not in final form yet, so it's impossible to know. So I take your point, Andrew, and that is that take advantage of what's there now that you can trust that's already in the law before the law changes. Is that right?
Yes, Jerry, you have it correct.
Okay.
You do.
Mm-hmm. And we are those people who follow those details.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that it makes it easy for you to come to us and be like, okay, where should I go? You know, what should I talk to my tax advisor about? What should I talk to my financial planner about? And we can give you those directions as to what might be the most advantageous way for you to make a gift. And, you know, talking to, you know, myself or Katie or Kelly or one of our gift planning officers in Aberdeen, Mitchell, and Watertown, you can really sit down and get a more holistic approach of what's the best way for me to give. Mm-hmm. And instead of having to pay a lot of money, you know, on tax advisors and financial advisors and, you know, attorneys to create your own foundation or to have this very robust gift planning and charitable plan to it, we can help you with that at no cost.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Katie, you look like you might be ready to jump in.
I just wanted to give people another idea.
Great.
For year-end giving or even a Christmas gift for a family member. We create a lot of endowments here at the Catholic Community Foundation, and that is, Kelly mentioned it a little earlier, but it's the gift that keeps on giving, so to speak, into perpetuity. Andrew put it really nicely the other day in that think of an endowment as a fund that gives you an allowance each year, or it's giving a distribution to a ministry that you care about each year. So, you know, for people out there listening and thinking about what do I give mom and dad, or what's a way to honor our family, an endowment is a wonderful way to do that. And then as a family, you can decide what it is that you want to give to. What kind of a legacy do we want to leave as a family? Mm-hmm. What do mom and dad care about? And an endowment is a great way of doing that.
There's, as you guys talked, there's so many different potential beneficiaries to all of this, from your parish to your cemetery to your school to certainly all kinds of direct ministries that support the life issue, support, I'm going to say it, communications, because, you know, we love that support as well. It helps us do the TV mass and so much else that we do here in the diocese that are meaningful things for people and great opportunities to support them in a creative way.
And just one other little tidbit from the backside again is that all of our investments really, as much as earthly possible, follow the teachings of the Catholic Church.
Right.
So it's just one extra bonus that is a little different than some other places in that we do have a committee that meets and makes sure that our investments follow those teachings. And it really hasn't caused any problems in terms of gains in the markets and things like that. You know, there's always ups and downs, and these have really followed along with the non-regulated investments. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The returns have been pretty. You can count on them. As much as you can any other.
As
you can any other. A past experience is no reflection of future. Is that what they always say? Mm-hmm. But we do the best. Do the best we can. Just a couple minutes left, guys, as we wrap up this morning. What else do you want to make sure people think about or know as we talk about this?
One thing that a lot of donors are actually surprised about is that the charitable beneficiary doesn't have to be Catholic as well. Mm. You know, we have people who put non-Catholic things in their endowments, like Humane Society and the orchestra, things like that, because people's charitable giving isn't just their parish.
Right.
It's not just their school or the diocese. It's really all of the things that have moved their heart. And one of the great things that we've been able to build into is we've become a very robust foundation where we can make all of those charitable gifts happen on your behalf.
Cool. All right. You guys, anything, any last words of wisdom we want to make sure people leave with as they think about this?
Well, I would just say we wish everyone a Merry Christmas, of course. And just if you need help with any of these things that we've been talking about, with your IRA rollover, with gifting to any organization that you care about, we are a resource for you, and please give us a call. And I will say that number again. How about?
That'd be great.
Okay, that number is 988-3788.
And the website?
CCFESD. Oh, and we do now know the 1-800 number, toll-free number.
We'll throw that out there,
okay,
too.
Okay, that's 888-246-3386.
So then your call is free. You don't even have to worry about
it.
Yeah. It's all free.
And our services are free. So please, we want to help people.
All right. End of year, obviously any time of year is a good time of year to contact the Catholic Community Foundation for Eastern South Dakota. But end of year is a particularly good time. And thanks to Katie Fritz, Kelly Bartman, and Andrew Bartel for being with us today.
Thank you.
Gina, on this Advent Sunday, we want to remind people as Christmas approaches, it's a little different this year. The calendar is an unusual spot.
It is. I've heard it in a couple of different homilies about how it's pretty short this year. And again, the last Sunday of Advent falls right on the day before Christmas.
So there's actually there's a fourth Sunday of Advent, but there's no fourth week of Advent at all. So plan accordingly so that you get your masses in.
Exactly.
For Advent and for Christmas.
You don't want to miss out. It's a great opportunity. And it is, even though it is a little bit shorter this year.
Yeah. So you need to go to both, and you want to go to both. At least I hope you do. And I hope people take advantage of that opportunity. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. We'll be back with you next Sunday.